VenusRadio.com.
We got a special guest on the line, Venus DeMarco. How are you?
I'm great. Really good. I'm here. I'm alive.
Well, alive is good.
Yes.
Be kind of hard to hold a conversation otherwise. But listen,
let's hope not.
You know, we
have a different radio show.
Say that again.
You have a different kind of radio show.
Yeah, well, we have a kind of radio show where we like to have fun.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, you know, and when we spoke before the other day, I told you, you know, I really enjoyed listening to your story when we met over at the TV station, and I wanted to have you on the show to talk about your story and share with our audience, you know, everything that has been going on with you, to talk about your book and that sort of stuff. But let's kind of back up a little bit before we get into it so we can find out who Venus DeMarco is, if you want to give us a little backstory.
Well, I was an esthetician, a very successful esthetician for 35 years, and I had clinics and spas in California and Seattle, Washington, and Sun Valley, Idaho, and then I ended up in Austin, Texas, and I think I've always been sort of a fearless woman, a woman who always wanted to make her own way, get out, do what I needed to do, and I always liked helping people.
Okay.
And I love animals. Animals are also a passion. And then in 2009, I was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Mm.
And so thank God that God made me the kind of woman I did, because I was really able to step out in faith. And believe me, a lot of people came up against me, but it seemed that more people were for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to stand very bold with my beliefs.
Right.
Because when we say the word cancer, fear comes in everybody's eyes. Even today, if I say, oh, I was, and they'll go, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm go, why? I'm still here.
Right, exactly.
Sorry about.
Now, when you know, I know you said you, when you at the TV station, it was kind of part of the story you kind of left out, but when we were talking, you kind of mentioned that night or that day or that weekend or that week, I'm not sure, that after you heard the diagnosis, what you did. I mean, I guess most people think, well, I dropped to my knees and I prayed, or I went to church, or I had to call my pastor. But for you, it was, you took it, you kind of went another way.
Well, I did a lot of things. That was the amazing, you know, and, you know, everybody thinks Christians are perfect, right?
Right.
And as soon as it comes, you know, I hope I can get to that point. I'm getting better and better, where the first thing I do is turn to God. Now, I actually did turn to God when I was diagnosed, and there was a lot of fear around this diagnosis because the tumor was so large. It was 9 centimeters, and there were tumors that rotated around it.
Oh, wow. Mm.
So the fear that I had from everybody was pretty bad. So I was actually diagnosed on Good Friday. So the first chapter of my book is called Good Friday. Mm. Like, what a day to get diagnosed. What a glorious day to get diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I looked at it, you know. And so it was a Friday. Everybody was freaking out. I went back to work thinking I could work. I finally told a client, I don't think I can work today. She goes, I don't think you can either. She says, you're really in shock. See, people think when you get a diagnosis, it's all this fear, but at first it's shock.
Mm-hmm.
That's how your body protects you, right?
Right.
So I went home and called some friends immediately and talked to them. The first thing I did do, though, was I called a very powerful man of God in California. He's good friends with another friend of mine, and we all got into agreement that I was healed.
Mm-hmm.
Done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm healed. Then, of course, the first thing I said, bring me some wine and bring me some food to all my friends. You can't take the Italian out of the girl. So, you know, I spent most of my weekend talking with friends, and I knew I was going to go the natural route, which to me is God's alternative route. He's the best alternative doctor there is. I knew everybody wanted me to have a double mastectomy because, and then lots of chemo. I studied nutrition for a long time. I knew my immune system was already compromised. Well, then it was Easter, and I always went to this our friend's house. We have what we called an adult Easter party.
Uh-huh.
And pet Easter egg hunts is very fun, but this time I decided to, you know, I mean, I'm being honest.
Right.
Before I really cleaning up and getting to where I had to, I went down for about a weekend of drinking mm-hmm. and drinking. And, you know, that's how, I mean, I was praying and drinking. It was all my bottle going all at once. You know, you can do both at the same time.
Right.
Some of my best prayers were probably said that weekend because, you know, your imagination gets really big.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not condoning that. I'm being very honest.
Right.
You know, I was scared. I was in shock. I was going back. I was now going reverting back to some old habits. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what do? You pacify yourself with alcohol. And so, you know, some funny. My first chapters actually will make me cry, laugh, and go, oh, my. Because it was some very funny things that happened that weekend. But then I had to get very, very serious.
Right.
And, you know, and then I had to change everything. And, you know, it's amazing when we get taken down to our knees how we can change and the best part of us will come out.
Mm-hmm.
Because people, everybody has a best part.
Mm.
And we're all so wonderfully unique.
Right.
Yes.
I've always been a very bold girl. I've always loved people, been very social. And I always knew, you know, I always knew God, always, my whole life. Was I close to him my whole life? I'm going to say no. But in 1994, I got saved, which was the best day of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then from then on, I had, you know, I went to him, ran away from him, went to him. Well, this time, before I was diagnosed, I had run to him and was really in a great church and things were going great. But, you know, and now I only run towards him.
Now, because, right. Well, let me ask you this. Now, leading up to the, before the diagnosis, were there any other, like, were there any kind of concerns? Was that just kind of like you learned of that day, or were you kind of like, something's not right, let me see what's going on here?
No, I knew something was wrong because I was always very athletic. I was always a curvy girl, but I was always a, you know, I was never heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And for about 2 years before I got diagnosed, maybe 3 years, my hormones went out of control. Like, I blew up. And it wasn't like I just got heavier. I literally had water weight. Like, I was round. I have a very thin face. But I had a round face. My hormones, there were nothing. I knew something was wrong for a long time, but all anybody kept saying, oh, it's just your hormones. I'm like, I'm sure it is, but this isn't right.
Right.
No hormones. I also started getting very bad allergies.
Okay.
When you have bad allergies, everybody can sneeze and get runny eyes, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Get debilitating, that is a sure sign that something's wrong. Your immune system is compromised.
Mm.
So nobody just gets cancer.
Right.
Okay? Cancer is like the perfect storm. It takes more than one thing, and you got to work at it real good to get for it to get to the point where you get diagnosed.
Mm.
It takes two or more factors to mutate your genes. And it takes years for a tumor just to get to the size of a nickel, about 10 years.
Wow.
So you think it was probably brewing for 20 years because it was so intense. Now, in my book, I really talk about the emotions that are connected to all disease. Each organ in our body has a specific emotion.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you that all diseases have unforgiveness attached to them.
Mm.
And we need to forgive. Mm-hmm. We need to get rid of anger and bitterness. The body doesn't know how to heal because it's the servant of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, you know, So I always say if I knew what I knew now, I would have changed my life a long time ago, and I never would have got the diagnosis because I could have stopped it in its
tracks. Now, so are you, with that being said, do you think that there were some, or was there some anger or some unforgiveness that you were holding on to that you think may have contributed to?
Big time. And it's in my book. I have a chapter called Defeating Your Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody wants to talk about things from their past,
right.
Trauma. So what happens is when we have trauma in our life, it could even be literally a bad divorce. It could be abuse as a child. It could be seeing something happen when you're a child. It could
right.
be a bad trauma. These traumas sit in your adipose tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And they sit and they sit and they sit, and then we never deal with these issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they fester. And then something else, then other things start to happen in the life, in your life, and your immune system breaks down, and now we've got another factor going on because you maybe aren't eating right. Your liver hurts because you drank too much or done drugs, or you eat a lot of sugar. So a lot of people think that liver disease comes just from alcohol. It doesn't. It comes from sugar, too. So what is alcohol? It's sugar, but a lot of people eat sugar constantly. The body cannot deal with it.
Right.
And then there is, and then there's toxins in the environment. I was an esthetician for a long time. Think about it. I leaned over people and had products in my hands all day long that had to filter through my liver.
Right.
And, you know, there's so many things. And hormones, yes, my hormones were out of control, and my estrogen was too high. So, yes, there's many, many things, but number one, got to find out who you're angry at, who you haven't forgiven. And when people say, oh, there's nobody, oh, me, I'm like, oh, yeah, right, everybody, everybody, whether you want to admit it or not, and you gotta just say, I forgive you. Or even, and how about this, a lot of people have never forgiven themselves.
True,
wow.
That's true.
You know,
yeah.
Venus, I have heard over the years that there are actually some doctors that do admit that cancer is directly related to unforgiveness.
I really believe that the way we live our lives now in such stress and chaos,
mm-hmm.
and constantly stimulated by electronics all the mm-hmm. time, that we're stressing our bodies out.
Yeah.
We're not doing... Humans are, you know, look, we have not evolved that much as a human body.
Mm.
You know, we're still the same human body that, you know, that when God made Adam and Eve, we have just, it's just adapted to a lot of things.
That's true.
And so we have gotten to where we never stopped. You know, even when I was in my 20s and 30s, I remember, you know, Fridays came, we were done work. We had a great time all weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like we were busy. We were still sitting on the beach, hanging out with our friends. Nobody had iPhones. Nobody was concentrating on anything except for what you were doing. Unless, of course, you had a fight with your boyfriend or something. But, you know, we were thinking about what we were doing. Nobody interrupted us. We were, you know, we were actually present with the people we were with.
Right.
So do you think
the lack of like human contact, you know, where you can kind of like you said, the weekends were free where you could decompress and you can kind of let your hair down. You can kind of sit back, relax, have fun, laugh more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think all
live
that kind of
life.
Stuff. Yeah, live life.
Yeah, stop a lot of life and live you, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, the stuff that, you know, that we're doing, we're so consumed with all this other stuff that we're kind of missing out on all those things we used to do, and that's contributing to...
And there are outlets.
Yeah. Because there was not that, I hardly knew any, in fact, I can tell you in my 20s, I know, well, in my 30s, one friend ended up with leukemia, or it was lymphoma, I'm sorry. That's it. Mm. Nobody had breast cancer, nobody
mm-hmm.
got cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 20-year-old children, everybody's getting cancer. I'm sorry, that's not genetic, that's environmental.
Yeah. Right,
that's
right.
Lifestyle. Okay, I'll ask you guys this. When is the last time you guys sat down to a meal with your family or friends?
Ah, that's a that's a bad question.
Probably.
That's a good question, but as of
over the
yeah,
Memorial, we, look, we sit down with them, but
Memorial Day holiday.
We sit down with them, but we be on our phones.
We're on our phones.
There you go.
And we get checked by a 5-year-old
right.
granddaughter that comes down the stairs and say, everybody is on their phones.
Right.
I know. I have a deal with my friends. When we go out to eat, the first person who answers their phone has to buy for everybody.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's a good deal. I like that deal.
Yes.
Because then you really hope somebody does.
You,
wow.
Well, yeah, and that keeps you in the moment, too. You're like, okay, well, we're here. It's all of us out here having a good time. Let's enjoy each other's company versus, you know, I mean, I guess I get emergency calls and all that kind of stuff, but if you just, you know, you know, random calls and you texting and all that kind of stuff. You kind of take it away from the moment that you're
right.
in.
Yes. And doesn't it say in the Bible we're supposed to live in the now? I take care of you today. You know, just like when the Israelites were going through the desert. God said, for today, not tomorrow. If you pick it up, if
that
you take too much to the pot.
Yeah.
He was telling us then, just be in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you see, I've always been in business for myself, and I actually did. I think I enjoyed business and did better in business when there wasn't all this contact and people had boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
When they called, how often they called you. You know, I have to, because nobody should be calling anybody at 2 in the morning, and they do. They text, and I'm thinking, are you not sleeping? Like, I so, you know, these things are taking away from being with the people we love.
Right.
And when we know, are we going to be saying, man, I was the most popular on Facebook. Boy, I really achieved a lot in my life.
I had a lot of likes on my Instagram.
That's right. Or did I really enjoy the people that I was with? Did I give my family all that I should, my husband, my friends? I think this is really important, and I'm a big advocate of this. Yes, I like to work hard, but I will stop. And I always say, you know, I got hit upside the breast. That stopped my life. It stopped me wanting chaos in my life. I want to be able to trust God enough to know that He is going to make all this okay.
Mm-hmm.
If I do my part. But He also said rest.
Yes.
And, you know, there's nothing more insulting to be sitting down with someone and they're looking at their phone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I see you writing your blog under the perfect storm. You said begin to take back your health and start being the master of your own health plan that is a preventative way of life, a life of joy without fear and believing that your body is capable of healing.
So
you're absolutely right. We are pulled in so many different ways that we you know. Maybe more, there are probably way more studies than we will ever know that this stuff is really causing more damage to us than that they care to admit. But you're right. You know, if we go back to, I can't think of not one friend of mine who was diagnosed with cancer or, you know, some other kind of disease that was life threatening. Not the way that it is today.
Now.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. So
we have become hardened to cancer as we have become hardened to violence.
Yeah,
wow.
You're right.
That's something.
You're absolutely right. Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, that's why I wrote this book. This book is not for people with cancer. It's for everybody. It's to inspire you to open your eyes, to not believe everything you hear,
mm-hmm.
to exhaust. You know, every time a pharmaceutical commercial goes on, I'm like, oh, please, this is the biggest lie I've ever heard. And I start talking to the TV, and you know, my friends, everything comes up. But, you know, it's not true. It's almost like I'm rebuking it. Get down in the name of Jesus. You're a liar.
Right. Yeah, those are the real drug dealers right there anyway.
Yeah, money makers.
But they are.
Yeah.
There, it's all about money. Everything can be traced back to money.
Yeah.
Disease.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Electronics.
Follow them.
News.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is linked back to money.
Yeah.
And that's the sad thing.
Well, let's talk about your book, Fearless. But before it was Fearless, it actually had another title, which I thought was pretty clever myself. But
so did I. Mm-hmm. It was called The Healing Journey of My Bodacious Papa, Healed by Grace and on a Budget.
Mm.
And that was really interesting. I realized that most people don't know what grace means. Because every walk of life is by the book. Now people see a woman with her arms up and a dove in the air and thinks it's a religious book. I'm not a religious person. I have a great relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I was fearless, not because I had no fear, but because every time the enemy took me to my knees, I got back up. And he still, the closer I get to God, the still, he tries to take me down
mm-hmm.
on my knees, and I say no, and I get back up. You know, I'm a nomad. There's a song called No Matter What Woman. I'm that kind of woman. No matter what, I'm going to get back up.
Mm-hmm.
I want to live. And so the book has a lot of information in it. It's my story, and it's pretty funny, because in the first 2 years, I was what I call a human guinea pig.
Mm-hmm.
I did everything, good, bad, and ugly in the natural world. And it'll make you cry. I've had men tell me they just bawled during parts of this.
Wow.
But men, I've had some of my best reviews from men, because I don't think men really understand how women think about their breath
mm-hmm.
and how important our breaths are, aren't mm-hmm. they, Dee?
Yes.
You know, they are. And, you know, what they are about.
Right.
So just chopping off is not that easy.
Now what made you make the decision? When you were told, hey, get the double mastectomy, you know, what ran through your mind and what made you decide, no, I'm going to go another route. I'm going to do, you went kind of the health food and the kind of stuff you were talking about before.
Right. Well, none of it made sense to me. You know, if you're talking to me and it's like you're saying, put your arm out, let me cut it off, would you do that, Wade?
No, not at all.
Gary, I'm sorry, I'm not sure.
Wade is fine.
So I always, in my book, I say, you know what's interesting is women will cut an organ out, cut their breath off in no time when the doctor tells them to. If you told a man he had cancer of the penis, he does not say, oh, cut it off now.
No, those words won't come out of my mouth, no.
Exactly. But women tend to say yes very quickly to this. And I've seen emotional distress. I've seen marriages break up, not because the man was uncared, but the woman didn't feel like a woman anymore.
Right.
You know, there's so much emotional attachment to our breath. I even put in all the slang words one day that I Googled for breath.
And, mm-hmm.
you know, there's so much to this. So I kept thinking, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. They didn't cause this. This just happens to be where I was. Where it landed.
Right.
It was, my immune system was already compromised. Why do I want to do chemo, which will take my white blood cells down to 1, which, by the way, is death?
Mm-hmm.
And do I want to be sick? Will I make it? Because the statistics after 5 years are very low.
Wow.
People actually living. And so people will say, well, I know lots of people. I said, let me tell you something. 2.1% of they took the top 14 cancers, and they found, this came out of the Canadian Oncology Journal,
uh-huh.
that after 5 years, the percentage that were still alive was 2.1%.
Wow.
What kept it high was testicular and Hodgkin's lymphoma, because they react a little better to chemo, so there might be a 20% rate. That's what got it up to 2.1. And people say, well, that's not true. I know lots of people. I said, you know what? 2.1% of millions is a lot more than 2.1% of 1,000
yeah,
or 100.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's your perspective. But also, let's say you cut your breast off, you do all this, and 5 years later, 2 years later, it goes into your liver. Because you see, I believe that chemo causes it to mutate and come back with a vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, no, this does not make sense to me. And I would rather die with all my organs and not in pain and not lose my brain because I'm letting them poison me, and at the end they have to give me morphine and everything so that I can handle the pain of it going in my bones.
Right.
And you know what? I took the Bible literally. When Jesus went to the cross, he said, I take not just your sins, but your sickness. You are healed. It is done.
Mm-hmm.
So by his Christ, we were healed, not going to be healed, maybe healed, you know. I really took it literally,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to stand on that and I'm going to live for a long, long time. And you know that's how it's going to be. Because you know
yes.
what, people like me got to, you know, we got a message. I got to be here. I love to live. I want to live for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, what are some of the things that you did yourself to you know help change or to combat the you know the cancer and fight it?
Well, the one thing I never did was receive it. Mm-hmm. I just said I was diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember that, you know, it has a name and he's above all names. So
mm-hmm.
I did that every day. I spoke healing scriptures over myself. Never would let anybody speak death or fear over me.
Mm-hmm.
Even on the days that I would be scared to death and in a fetal position under my desk, no matter what, I kept speaking those over me. And, I mean, it was not an easy journey, especially the first year.
Uh-huh.
Then I had to change. I had to get rid of all sugar. I juiced every day. I still am a big fan of juicing. I went on a raw vegan diet. I got all dairy, all animal products out of my diet. I learned to be a raw chef.
Mm.
On my own, I don't have like some culinary degree. I just have always liked to cook, and
mm-hmm.
And I took a lot of anti-inflammatory supplements. I did a lot of TTAP to clear the breath, dry brushing, detox baths. I mean, you name it, and I had to do some heavy-duty detoxing, which means I had to detox from the colon to the liver to the gallbladder to the blood to the kidney.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not for sissies, I'm telling you. This is not a pretty little 7-day cleanse.
Right.
You've got to get everything out.
Mm.
So it was, you know, and still to this day, I don't have to be perfect in my eating because I don't have cancer. But I also know that everybody has cancer cells. And so, yes, I will have a treat once in a while. I'm not always, you know, so clean, but I would say 80% of the time I am. And
mm-hmm.
then sometimes I'll feel something, you know, I'm getting a little sluggish. Then I really go back to just letting my body get balanced again. And then, you know, and this is how we should be living anyway. We should really, you know, we're eating way too much sugar.
Right.
And sugar is good. But as you saw, I made a really good dessert.
I did. I enjoyed both of them. I can't remember what those little balls were that you made in the dip. But I remember the dip, which was the cashew dip.
It was the cashew cheese.
And then I
made spicy brownie truffles. And then I also made gazpacho, which right there, that is like such an alkalizing, wonderful thing to eat because there's so many nutrients in it and fiber.
Uh-huh.
And it has capsicum, which comes from the jalapeno and the red pepper, that actually take down inflammation.
Mm.
So if you ever notice, all cultures have a pepper, a hot pepper, right?
Yeah. I might have started eating more peppers and put that more in my diet. Well, let me ask you, well, you know, because I know that you go around and you speak. If people want to get in contact with you, especially if they want to find out more about your book, bring you out to speak at their seminars or their conventions or their churches or wherever, how can they find out more information and where can they get that book, Fearless?
VenusDeMarco.org. And on my website, it'll take you to all the links and different ways to buy the book.
Okay. So if there was a, like, if there was a, what would be the parting gift you would want to leave with our listening audience so that they would know that, you know, excuse me, that, you know, cancer, though it's real, there's ways that, like you said, your book is more of a preventative.
Well, it's preventative. It's more inspiring, and one I just want to know people to know that we have been conditioned to be fearful of cancer. It's big, big money. Okay, so let's not be afraid of something that our body already knows what how to take care of.
Right.
Let's start to take care of itself. So what? What are my parting words? Let's first seek God in all of our and. Everything we do. Let's be present in the now and enjoy the people that are with us. Let's sit down and fellowship and eat healthy food together. But most of all, even, you know, we're all going to be angry at people once in a while. We're all going to have some bitterness, but forgive as fast as you can. And forgive yourself, because we're not perfect and we never will be perfect. And so when we make mistakes, know that we're forgiven, and forgive ourselves and move on. And that is one of the hardest things I've had to learn.
Awesome. Well, Venus DeMarco, I certainly want to thank you for taking the time for hanging out with us right here on the show. Make sure y'all go over to Venus DeMarco, DeMarco.org, VenusDeMarco.org. You find out how you can get your the book Fearless, how you can bring her out to be a speaker at one of your conferences or conventions. If you just want to learn all about this good healthy living that she teaches and talks about, I promise you the food is good. I had it. I know that it's good. She's a wonderful person. I think a delight. And you got to have her out. You got to have her out. Come speak to your people. Again, I just want to say thank you so much. You know, certainly a pleasure meeting you. And when you do come to Atlanta, we want to have you come in and hang out with us right here on the show as well.
Yes.
Oh, I will. And I'll bring you food, and we will laugh, and we'll have a good time. And I would love to be a part of your live show. Thank you so much for having me. It meant a lot to me.
Oh, no, certainly a pleasure. It's your boy G-Way holding it down. G-Way Radio Show with Deacon.
Dirty.
And D. Perry is in the building.
I'm in the house.
Y'all keep it locked.
HonorAndGloryRadio.com.